Well, welcome to Transfiguration Sunday. That's what today is. From the standpoint of the church calendar, this basically marks the end of the season of Epiphany and bridges over to the season of Lent. The season of Lent, which begins this Wednesday with Ash Wednesday and continues for 40 days leading up to Easter. That's right. Everybody wake up there. There you go. Okay, so this is a very pivotal, important time in the church calendar. That's certainly true. But it's also a very pivotal, important time in the biblical story of the life of Jesus Christ. So we're going to take a few minutes this morning, not too long, to ponder the event known as the Transfiguration. Well, we heard the event itself described this morning in our reading, in our gospel reading today in Matthew chapter 17. Now notice the very first words, the first three words in this chapter, we heard it from Grace. It says, after 6 days. This is the first three words. After 6 days. And then the verse goes on to say, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and then the four of them alone, just the four of them, went up on a high mountain. Okay, that's verse one. But let's not skip over the context of those first three words, after 6 days. After 6 days from what? What happened before those 6 days? Let's take a look at that. Okay, in Matthew chapter 16, we find Jesus and his disciples well north of the Sea of Galilee, about as far north as we know that they ever went, up in Caesarea Philippi. That's the area that they were. And this was occurring really in the final month, certainly the final year of Jesus' three-year ministry, the final year of his life, earthly life. And it was during this time, while they were in Caesarea Philippi, that Peter, for the first time, emphatically declared in chapter 16, verse 16, you are the Messiah. Remember that? And from that moment on, it says in verse 21, from that moment on, Jesus began to explain to them that he must go to Jerusalem, be handed over, and killed. And they tried to talk him out of that. Stop saying that, remember? Don't talk like that. Peter said, that can't happen. Don't say it. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. This is the way it is. It must happen. So this is the way it was. And this is what was going on during those 6 days leading up to the Transfiguration. So can you imagine that conversation and how that was happening and the morale and the anxiety of that camp of Jesus and the disciples, especially the disciples, right? I mean, these guys had sacrificed and risked everything to be part of the Jesus team. And now Jesus says, this is how it's going to end, and soon. Okay, so with all that being said, that's the context of what was happening in those 6 days leading up to our gospel story. So now we can ask ourselves this question. What really was the Transfiguration, and why did it happen? Now, as our story begins, we remember that Jesus makes the disciples wait patiently, or perhaps not so patiently, for those six days, under this tremendous cloud of uncertainty, and most definitely, anxiety. And then, as it says in verse 1, after 6 days, Jesus took his innermost circle, right? his innermost circle, Peter, James, and John, and led them up a high mountain. Now, incidentally, assuming that they were still up north in that same region, now they might have moved, but assuming that they were still up in that northern region, the mountain was probably Mount Hermon. Doesn't say in the Bible, but it was most likely Mount Hermon. But in any event, the story at this point is reminiscent of another story that occurred 1,500 years earlier. And we heard that story in our first reading today from Exodus chapter 24. In that story, Moses went up on a mountain, and that mountain was Mount Sinai in that particular case. And God made him wait. He made him wait there in a cloud of confusion for how long? 6 days. 6 days before God finally spoke to him. And then during the next 40 days, God gave Moses the law. He laid down the law, right? Including the Ten Commandments on two stone tablets. That's what happened in that story. So now here we are, 1,500 years later, in our gospel story, and Jesus and his three disciples are on another mountain. And all of them would, of course, have been very familiar with the story of Moses. And then suddenly, right before their eyes, it says that, right before their eyes, the three disciples, Jesus was transfigured. Now, the original Greek word was metamorpho. We say transfigured. The original Greek word was metamorpho, which sounds like what? Metamorphosis. That's right. A metamorphosis occurred, or so it seemed. His face shone like the sun. His clothes were as white as light. A metamorphosis, a change, had occurred, right? But did it really? Did it really? Was the transfiguration of Jesus a change in Jesus? No, it wasn't, not at all. The transfiguration was not a change, it was a revelation. Yet again, another revelation. It was a revelation. And it happened not for Jesus' sake. He didn't need it. It happened for us. For you and me. Right here in Bowmansville, Pennsylvania. That's why it happened. So here it is. It did not happen to change Jesus. Didn't change him at all. It happened to change us. So think of it. This was not Jesus becoming something that he was not. No. This was him revealing his divine glory to the world. A world full of fear, doubts, and anxiety. Just like we have from time to time, maybe often. And just like his disciples definitely had, especially then. That's why he revealed it. To help us with those things. To help them with those things. With their fears, their doubts, and their anxieties. The witnesses, Peter, James, and John, they were the key to the event. Without them, there would not have been the event. They needed to see it. And what else did they see? Well, very briefly, they saw Moses, right? And they saw Elijah. And what were they doing? They were talking with Jesus. And then they disappeared. They were gone. Why? What was that? What was that about? Well, the disciples understood it perfectly. They understood it perfectly. Moses represented the law, and Elijah represented the prophets. And they were revealing to the world that everything in the Old Testament finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. The law and the prophets had done their job. And they had pointed to Jesus. And the transfiguration is a revelation that Jesus is fully God. It's a glimpse into his divine nature. And it's a reminder that even in his suffering, even while hanging on the cross, even while beaten and bloodied, his divine glory is there, and it's radiant, and it's unchanged. And it's intended also as a reminder to all of us that even in our suffering, which in this world can be extreme, suffering is not the end of the story, not the end of our story. But the gospel story, our gospel story and our lesson today, ends on a really important note and a great reminder. God the Father has the last word in this story today. And it boils down to that famous, great question, what would Jesus do? It's a good question to ask yourself. Often. I mean, we can get bombarded with very loud voices, very strong opinions coming from all directions. Some of them are inside our own heads, let's face it. And some of those loud voices may even be shouting Bible verses at us. Yeah, that's true. But we have got to ask ourselves, does that sound like Jesus? Does that seem like Christ-like love? Is that really what Jesus would do? Or how Jesus would want us to behave? Because on the top of that mountain, 2,000 years ago, God the Father said this. This is my son whom I love. Listen to him.